I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, in the Psalms, Psalm 112. Psalm 112, we just read some verses from this passage of God's Word. And commencing to read there at verse number 1, Psalm 112, and commencing to read at verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth, and the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. We end our reading there, and we pray that God will bless his word, as we know he does, to all of our hearts. We want to return to this Psalm 112, and we have already seen that it opens with the words, "Praise ye the Lord." It's a burst of praise, an adoration, and a call to praise. And of course, when the children of God focus upon the Lord, then it will be easy for praise to come to our lips. When we get our eyes upon him, then certainly we will praise him, because we will rejoice in all the Lord has done for us, and the Lord deserves all our gratitude and all of our praise. And I trust indeed that the spirit of praise will grip our hearts even in the house of God this morning, that God will remove every negative thing in our lives and just direct our thoughts and our minds upon him, because as Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power," and certainly he's worthy of all our praise. Now, as we looked at this Psalm here, 112, we noticed, first of all, there was a blessing stated, because it says, "Blessed is the man." And so there's a simple statement of blessing. But then, of course, we have got to be very careful, because not only is there a blessing stated, but there is a basis stipulated. Because we have the foundation, as it were, the rock of foundation of where that blessed man, or who that blessed man is. Not everyone is blessed of the Lord. The wicked are not blessed of the Lord, but it says here is a blessed man. And of course it identifies two things. It says blessed is the man, first of all, that feareth the Lord. And then secondly, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. And when it comes to the fear of the Lord, and we did notice when we were looking at this on the last occasion of the study of God's word, we find there were three kinds of fear. There was that holy fear, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him," Deuteronomy 6:13. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And of course, we need to restore, I believe, in the hearts and even in the services among the people of God, that reverence, that respect, that awe of God. And of course, there's a blessing upon the man who has that awe and that fear of God. Exodus 15:11 says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Or Isaiah 6:3, "And I cried unto him, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And when we come to acknowledge who God is, and we come to worship him and fear him and reverence him, then I believe with all my heart that we will have that holy fear. I then noticed there was a healthy fear. The word of God says in Matthew 10:28, "The fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." There is a healthy fear. And then, of course, we noticed there was a hurtful fear. And that is that there is the fear of man. That's a hurtful fear. We also find that God has told us that we have not been given the spirit of bondage to fear, But we have the spirit of liberty, and we have the spirit of God within our hearts, because fear, the Bible says, hath torment. You say to me, what's a hurtful fear, preacher? Well, let me say this. People are afraid of serving the Lord. They're afraid of failure. And you know, friends, there are those that want to serve the Lord, but they're afraid of taking that first step. Because lest they fail. And that's a hurtful fear. We've got to trust the Lord if we're going to serve Him. Some people are afraid that they, if they surrendered completely to the Lord, what that would mean. Maybe God would call them to the mission field. And friend, they're afraid to sell out to God. They're afraid to surrender completely to the Lord. We can sing the hymn, let the Lord have His way in your life every day. That's surrender. That's surrendering completely to the Lord and let God have His will in your life. But there are people who are afraid to do that. They're afraid if they say, Lord, I want you to take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let it flow in ceaseless praise. People are afraid to do that because of what it might mean. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite will I withhold. We sing the hymn, friend. But be honest, some people are afraid to sing that because God might tell them, as He said to the young man, He said, sell all of you have and give to the poor. And then what would I do? How would I look after myself? They're afraid to launch out. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples, He says, launch out into the deep. They were afraid. And so there is a hurtful fear. We noticed as we looked at the end of this that thank God, praise God in Christ, we can defeat our fears. We can face our fears. We can fight our fears, not on our own strength. But God has promised to give us the victory because we are overcomers through Him that loved us. It says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. God can give you strength to overcome your fears. You know, some people are afraid of the dark. Whenever we fear the Lord, we don't need to be afraid of the dark. You say to me, where does that come? Well, Isaiah chapter 50. In Isaiah chapter 50, in the verse number 10, it says in God's precious word, these words, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Listen, you can be walking in darkness, but you don't need to be overcome by the darkness. You don't need to be afraid of the darkness, because you're to trust in the name of the Lord and you're to stay upon your God. You and I don't need to be afraid of death. And let me be quite honest, we don't laugh at death. Death is a very solemn thing. But did the psalmist not say in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because Thou, the Lord, art with me. Thy rock and thy staff, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So I don't need to be afraid of death. I don't need to be afraid in the day of trouble. Why? Because in Isaiah chapter 43, it says, fear not. I've redeemed thee. He says, I have called thee by thy name. He says, thou art mine. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And when thou goest through the rivers, they'll not overflow thee. And when you walk through the fire, He says, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Why? Because I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Thou was precious in my sight. Then we don't need to be afraid of the day of trouble. Let's be honest, the day of trouble will come to us all. But some people are afraid of what lies in the future. A day of trouble coming to them. What would I do, preacher? What would I do? I'll tell you what you do. Trust in the Lord. And not be afraid. You've got to trust in the name of the Lord. You've got to rest yourself. You've got to stay yourself upon Jehovah. Thank God we don't have to fear the judgment. Why? Because Romans tells us in chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. See, the devil would love to bind your life up into fear. And that's what it says in Romans chapter 8. Just turn there for a moment. And the verse that God wrote upon my heart. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You can cry to God, friend. And when you're in the day of trouble, you can cry to God. When you're in the day of death, you can look to the Lord. When you're in the days of darkness, thank God you can stay yourself upon Jehovah. And for the day of judgment, praise God, you don't need to fear because there's no condemnation. Therefore, in Psalm 112, it tells us this, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. And then notice again what it says in Psalm 112. It says not only that feareth the Lord, but that delighteth greatly in God's commandments. Remember, our brother preached last Lord's Day morning in Psalm number 1. Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, that standeth not in the way of sinners, that sitteth not. That's the negative side. The knots. But what about this blessed man? Who is he? What is this blessed man? Who is he? Verse number 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. There's the man that is blessed. The man that is blessed is the one that loves the law of God. He is blessed by God's book. The man who is blessed is the one who's cheered by God's commandments. God's pronouncements, friend, are his pleasure. He delighteth in the law of the Lord. That's what it says. He is blessed because he delighteth greatly in the commandments of God. Can I ask you this morning, do you delight greatly in the commandments of God? Is your delight in the law of the Lord? You see, this delight is what he feels about God's commandments. He rejoices in the commandments of God. He rejoices in the Word of God. I think there's something missing among many of God's people today. They are not enthusiastic about the Word. They have lost enthusiasm for the Word of God. And I want to tell you, my friend, there is no substitute for the Word of God. If you want to grow in grace, you need the Word of God. If you want to serve the Lord and want to know the will of God, you've got to search the Word of God. This is God's mind. This is God's revealed will, friend. If you really want to know what God wants you to do, then you've got to be a student of the Word of God. And here's the sad thing. Many of God's people live on the margins of the book. They do not delight. They do not delight, as it says, they do not delight greatly. Friend, this is not only a textbook. This is more. This is the living, infallible Word of God. This is the mind of God for you and me. What does God think about this? What does God say about this? Where can I get the answer? I'll wait for the preacher to say something from the pulpit. No, friend, the Word of God's the answer. It's the Word of God. Therefore, to know it, we need to read it, we need to study it, we need to listen to it. And I'll tell you something, this: if you fall in love with this book, if you fall in love with Jesus, you'll fall in love with this book. And if you fall in love with this book, I'll tell you, you'll get excited about it. And many times have I heard those who profess the name of Jesus say to me, preacher, I can't understand the book. And friend, they have no enthusiasm, they have no excitement about the Word of God. Now, I want you to notice something. It says this, this man's blessed is the one who delighteth greatly, mark this, in God's commandments. See, when God is speaking in his precious Word, friend, let me tell you, God's not making suggestions. God's not simply making statements. God's making commandments. When God gave the law to Moses, he didn't give suggestions to Moses. He gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, the law of God. And what do we do with commandments from God? We obey them. We obey the commandments. Now, of course, to obey the commandments, we've got to know them. We've therefore got to read. We've got to hear the Word of God. And then there must be the response of our hearts. There has to be an obedience to the Word of God. Now, here's a question. What response do you and I give to the Word of God? Because, friend, it is in the response that we give that brings us to the blessing we get. Because the Bible says here, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Blessed is the man that delighteth greatly in God's commandments. Do you delight in it? Friend, be honest before the Lord. Do you find some of the commandments of God, friend, just a bit too far? Just a bit too far in what you want to do. You see, the man who loves the Lord and the man who wants a blessing from God, he does not fight the commandments. And that's what many of God's people do. They fight the law of God. They fight the commandments of God. They try to see, how can I get around His commandments? How can I, as it were, slip around them rather than face them and obey them? Friend, we can't. We have got to obey the commandments of the Lord. And if we are not willing to obey the commandments of God, then we miss the blessing. Because blessed is the man that delighteth greatly in His commandments. You see, it's not only the commandments of God are not only His meditation. That's when he reads it. The commandments of God are His motivation. And some people can go as far as the commandments of God being their meditation, but they're not willing to go through with God. They're not willing to obey, and they're not willing, therefore, or they're not able to get the blessing. They miss out with God. Are you missing out with God this morning? Now, why would I delight greatly in the commandments of God, friend? Why should I delight greatly? Well, first of all, because God has given them, and therefore I, who profess to be His child, must obey them. But let me give you a little verse why you ought to obey the commandments of God. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And friend, in Romans chapter 7, this is what it says concerning the law of God. Romans chapter 7, verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, just, and good. Holy, just, and good. And therefore, if you obey the commandments of the Lord, friend, the commandments of God, which are holy, just, and good, then you shall receive the blessing of the Lord. Then you live in the center of God's will. Then you will live a balanced life as a Christian. And the man who loves the Lord and lives for the Lord is the happiest person in the world. And let's just take another step forward. Let's go back to Psalm 112 now. Because it not only says here, is there the blessing stated and the basis stipulated, but we come into the next verse and we have the bounty shared. Because it says here in verse 2, His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. And so we come not only to the blessed man, but it takes a step further. It's a blessing not only upon him, but notice the next word, his seed, his house. And friend, let me tell you this. I think it's wonderful when a man can be a blessing, not only to others in general, but when you're a blessing to your seed, when you're a blessing to your family. And that brings it right into the home. That brings it into the family circle. Because what we find is this, that not only is he blessed, but his blessing is shared. His blessing is not only shared by others in general, because I believe that God can make you, as a child of God, who have no offspring or seed, God can make you a rich blessing. God can use you mightily and make you a rich blessing to many and multitudes. But we have also got to speak about our seed. We have got to speak about our loved ones. And that's what verse number 2 is speaking about. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. And his righteousness endureth forever. His blessing is shared by his loved ones. And I believe what happens, friend, is this. As God blesses you, God can make you a blessing. God can make you a blessing to others. Can I speak to parents this morning? You know, there are things that you cannot leave to your children. You can't hand down godliness. You and I just can't hand down godliness to our posterity. Just because I'm saved, that does not mean that my sons and daughters are saved. But I can hand them down an example. And that is no excuse, therefore, because I cannot save them, that I sort of absolve myself and say, well, there's nothing I can do for my family, friend. That's not true. Every parent can be a blessing to their family. Every parent ought to desire to be a blessing to their family. And let me say this to you. The best investment that any parent can make for the success of their children is to devote themselves to the service of Christ. That's the best investment. To live your life for Jesus. Because I'll tell you, your children, friend, some may not read the Bible, but they will read you. They will read your life. They will read the example that you're setting to your family. And I say this before God, and we as parents don't always realize this, and I say this to young parents, please get this in your heart. The life that you live as a parent in the home will impact upon your children. It will impact upon your sons and your daughters. Parents that are fighting all the time in the home, I'll tell you, that is an impact upon children. Parents that squabble in the home, and let me tell you, and their children are standing and watching on, do you think that that doesn't affect them? Do you think that that doesn't put a mark upon your children and the future of their lives and how they will live their life? Because quite often, your children will live out your life in them. And I say to us, we need to get serious. It is easy to talk about our seed. It is easy to say that our children are the heritage of the Lord. Let me tell you, if they are our heritage, and they are, then we need to be very careful what we are investing in. We need to be very careful how we're living our lives before them. We need to live our lives that when they see us as parents, that they know that we are who we profess we are. It's not enough to profess we are Christians, because no one will know that more than our seed. And what an awful thing if our family were to say, my dad's a phony because he doesn't live what he professes. And so it talks about his seed shall be mighty upon earth. There is a blessing upon our seed. You see, the word of God says, train up a child in the way he shall go. And when he's old, he shall not depart from it. And let's be honest, friend, there are many parents here in this congregation, and there are many parents. And you want to give every advantage to your child. You want to make it easier for them after you. You want to give them things that perhaps you didn't get when you were a child and make it better for them. The best advantage you can give to your child, friend, if you're really serious about this, is to live a godly life. Is to know the Lord. Because it is true that many parents, they have their lives and they live their lives to give possessions to their children when they're gone. And yet, whilst they give them every other advantage, they neglect the one thing that counts. And that is spiritually. Spiritually. We read this morning in 3 John. And in 3 John, we read it specifically because it says there in verse number 3, the elder unto the beloved guests. In verse 3 it says this, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. That is a great thing. That's our testimony. Whenever the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. You see, friend, that's not only the testimony from the lips, that's the testimony of the life. That's the walking in the truth. And I tell you, that will speak more than quite often the testimony of our lips. Is a testimony, especially to our families, the testimony of our lives, even as thou walkest in truth. And then John says this under the inspiration of God. He says, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Friend, there ought to be no greater joy for any parent than to know that their children walk in truth. And no godly parent can be really happy until they know that their children are walking with God. And when we live the life before them, and when we live that blessed life before them, that their families see that life, what happens, friend? Then we become a blessing. Because when our families examine our lives and we face the days of trial, they see that we have been fortified by the grace of God. And therefore, whenever they face trials in their lives, they will remember, my dad was fortified. My mom, she was fortified by the grace of God in her life. God give her grace to come through. And God is my God. And you know, they will be fortified by your example in the struggles that they will surely face. Because make no mistake about it, your children will face struggles even more than we of the older generation have had to face. And that's why it's important that we take the position of parenthood very seriously indeed. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And friend, this goes right into our home. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day, Notice the word, I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Are we serious about the spiritual life of our children? I've seen many a parent, let me tell you this, and they're so engrossed in getting their child that PhD, or that BA, or that BSc, or that MA, or some degree. They're so engrossed, and I'll tell you this, they travel the country to get them education. But they wouldn't lift their finger to take their child and to encourage their child to a youth fellowship meeting or a prayer meeting or church service for their salvation. And that's an indictment against the child of God. Thou shalt teach them diligently. Be dead earnest about this. The word of God, friend. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou diggest not. Verse 12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. You know, sometimes whenever we get blessing, God blesses us and we prosper, we forget the Lord. We don't need him as the way we used to, because we're able to meet all our bills and we're able to face everybody around us. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. Don't leave God out of it, friend. Especially don't leave the Lord out of your family. Let the Lord be number one. Now let me just, I know time's quickly going this morning, but notice that little word. It says in Psalm 112, his seed shall be mighty. And some people think, you know, whenever they read that, my son or my daughter is going to be a prominent person. They're just going to be mighty. People are going to bow down to them, and people are just going to, you know, look upon them, and they're going to be exalted. No, friend, that's not speaking about that at all. That is not physical power. Your seed shall be mighty. This is talking about spiritual power. Spiritual power. Thy children will have spiritual power, spiritual standing before God. And you and I as parents, we had a part to play under God because we were the blessed man. We honored the Lord in our lives. And because of us and the example that we set, friend, we were a blessing. We sang the hymn this morning, is your life a channel of blessing? Friend, it is a channel for something. Are you a blessing to those around you? Are you a blessing when you come into people's company? Are you a blessing? Am I a blessing? Or when people see us come, do we say, oh no, not him again? Because we know what it's going to be. Is your life a channel of blessing? It's not enough to sing the hymns. Friend, we're talking about living the life before others. Just as I close this morning, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth, the generation of the upright. They shall be blessed. In other words, our family's blessing. And you know, listen, friend, no matter what your child works at, no matter how menial a task they have, listen, if they're saved, they're greater than the king. they're greater than the king. If your son brushes the streets and is a child of God, I want to tell you this. He's a son of the king. If your daughter is washing dishes and she's a child of God, friend, let me tell you this. The world may frown upon her for what she works at. I want to tell you, God blesses her for who she is. And here's the last thought. And this verse is misunderstood as well. Notice the next verse, verse 3. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Now, people, you see, when they read that, they rub their hands and say, oh, boys, if my son's going to be a millionaire, wealth and riches. And I never had anything, so I'll sort of screw with him. And that's not what it means at all. That's not what it means. Don't take the word of God out of context. It is true that God blesses his children. But God blesses his children in many different ways. Let me tell you this. There's people, and they haven't two beans to scrape together, but listen, they've never had a day of sickness in their life. Are they not rich? I tell you, listen, if you think you're poor, come with me in some of the visitations of the hospital, friend, and watch some people gasping for breath. See some young people that can hardly breathe. Never had a day's health in their life. Maybe they have plenty in their bank, friend, but let me tell you, but as far as health and strength is concerned, they've nothing. Yet we talk about wealth and riches in their house. What are we talking about? Oh boy, we're going to have plenty. We're going to have plenty to pay the bills and more. See, that's the sad thing, friend. When we talk about wealth and riches, there's only one word comes out of that. Money. Money. And yet I believe before God, friend, I believe before God that the man who's saved, the man who's blessed of God, is enriched by the Lord. And all the money he wants has nothing to do with it. It has a different meaning. And I want us to think of just simply what that means. Let me put it another way. His house shall be his wealth and riches. That's his meaning. His house. Now that's not a two-storied house or a three-storied house or 7 rooms or 10 rooms. And the bigger the better. No, friend, nothing to do with that. His house, his home, his family shall be his wealth and riches. We'll come back to that next Lord's Day. That's not talking about possessions. That's talking about people. That's talking about people. With this I close. I read the other day, home is not just a place to eat and sleep. It should be the place where burdens are shared, understanding is given, kindness is spoken, laughter is heard, godliness is taught, strength is found, love is felt. And everybody is important, but God is first. That's a real home. And this countryside is filled with houses. And sad to say, a lot of it's missing. Homes. His wealth and riches shall be in his house.